Welcome to Sunset Conversations, a BullfrogEntertainment.com production. I am your host, Papa Mark Lichterman, along with my partner, production coordinator, Mark Florkowski. On the 15th and 30th of each month, we will present you with an interesting and entertaining topic. One exception, that pesky February will be the 28th. Our podcast is a mixed bag of our daily life experiences as they relate to us and all of you. We look at personal observations. These may include such topics as fruits, coffee, teenage relationships with grandparents, traffic, vacations, daily frustrations, and joys. Our goal is to show the audience how ridiculous, silly, and of course joyful our lives can be. Each episode will end with a big smile, like when eating ice cream. Please enjoy our Sunset Conversations as we take you through the journey of life. Send your questions, comments, and suggestions to info@bullfrogentertainment.com.
And we're running. Run, Napoleon, run! They're going to catch us! Look at those gigantic front teeth!
The super French warrior, Napoleon, well, he thought he was going on a rabbit hunt. The bizarre truth is, he was attacked by the rabbits. Bugs Bunny would be super proud of his ancestors.
Yeah, what's up, Doc?
What's up, Doc? Yeah. You know what? We all know the bits and pieces we are taught about history. Well, today's history lesson, we'll look at the lighter side, the bizarre side of history.
Mm-hmm.
How a hot dog became known as a hot dog. The world's oldest recipe. Where'd that come from? What is it? Or what past president is in the Wrestling Hall of Fame?
I want to Google that.
This is the type of history that can help to open conversations. The lighter side of life. The Jeopardy life questions and answers. They say history repeats itself. Well, I don't know of any others who got chased by the very rabbits they were hunting. Anyhow, let's see what we can learn.
And away we go.
So, Mark, I know you actually know this, know of this person as well. A great storyteller of bizarre tales was Paul Harvey.
Yeah, I think you're going to be following in his footsteps, Mark.
Thank you. He was famous for what he called the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
To our listeners, if you're not aware of who he was, take a minute and Google him. I think you might find him interesting.
You will.
One of his tales was how the term hot dog came about. He explains all the different types of sausage that were created, and he reviews the various names of those sausage. Now, some will dispute his story. Paul Harvey said that the term hot dog was coined by sports cartoonist Ted Dorgan, old T.A. Dorgan, in 1905. And for whatever reason, I tend to believe Paul Harvey's version because I like it better. Now, according to Harvey's retelling, Dorgan was present at the New York Polo Grounds when a vendor was selling red-hot dachshund sausage. Well, unable to spell dachshund, and I can understand that, Dorgan hastily captioned his newspaper cartoon with the words, hot dog, so that he can make the deadline, thus creating the term and cementing that in today's popular culture.
Yeah, you gotta like Paul Harvey. I remember him when I was younger.
Right?
He was really cool on the radio.
Every story he ended, and now you know the rest of the story. Awesome stories.
Yeah. Dachshund. D-O-X-H-O-U-N-D. All right. What else you got for us?
Well, I think I might have brought this up in the introduction. I can't remember. But George Washington. We all know George Washington.
Oh, yeah.
What we may not know is he established a distillery at Mount Vernon. Here's a date, and I told you once a long time ago, dates will pop up.
Oh, I love dates. Go ahead. Shoot.
In 1797.
Hey, that's 228 okay. years ago.
And he was encouraged to do this by his farm manager. This is the smart guy. George was pretty good, too, but James Anderson is the guy that told him, you should do this, George.
Yeah, I can get right. trouble with our listeners. We'll just say that James Anderson was very an influencer of George.
Very influential. Well, initially skeptical, Washington soon saw impressive results. And by 1799, his distillery was producing 11,000 gallons of whiskey annually.
Wow, that's a lot of dollars. Right.
That's making it the largest in America at the time. That's pretty crazy. This enterprise added significant income, yes, lasted until 1814. And it's preserved and partially restored as a historical site with, of course, whiskey sales supporting its ongoing educational mission.
Well, I am so glad to know the founder of our country was such an entrepreneur.
Isn't that something?
Now, that's awesome.
That's history.
Yeah.
And, I mentioned Napoleon and the rabbit attack.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go a little further in that okay. story. Now you'll know the rest of the story.
All right, Paul.
In July 1807, mm-hmm. after the treaties of Tilsit, Napoleon's chief of staff arranged a celebratory rabbit hunt with hundreds, heck, possibly thousands, of rabbits.
Let's not forget, they were tame rabbits.
These rabbits, the whole thing went south when these hungry rabbits that, yes, were tame, were expecting food.
Uh-oh.
They swarmed Napoleon and his party instead of fleeing. Imagine this. Hundreds or thousands of rabbits. The bunnies overwhelmed the group, forcing Napoleon, the big brave Napoleon,
yep.
to retreat to his coach, with the rabbits even following him and jumping inside with him. Now, that's insane and bizarre.
Wow. History is stranger than fiction. It's
crazy.
All right, Mark. Let's keep on going with some weird food tales.
All right. Well, let's start this out with the sneeze cheese incident in the 17th century Gesundheit of Italy. There was a cheesemaker, and this cheesemaker became famous for what they called his magical cheeses.
Oh, boy.
They had streaks of unusual mold.
Oh.
It's getting bizarre. The truth was revealed. He had a violent sneezing disorder, and some batches accidentally got seasoned, let's say.
Whoa. Whoa.
But locals swore that it added character to his cheeses.
That's gross.
Put a little cheese on the cracker, why don't you?
I still love some cheese.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I don't even want to think about pizza anymore.
Well, now that was really bizarre.
Yep.
This isn't quite as bizarre, but it's very interesting. And it's, again, unusual history.
Mm-hmm.
Banana ketchup from the Philippines.
Now, there's something I want to hear more about.
During World War II, there was a tomato shortage. So the Filipinos invented banana ketchup.
Hmm.
Yep. Ketchup made from mashed bananas.
Wow.
They added vinegar. They added spices. And actually, it's still popular today. And I have tried some. I would imagine some of the grocery stores that sell weird foods would
there's,
have it.
There's probably a story with a name like that. Sounds familiar.
It tastes actually nothing like bananas at all.
Wow. Yeah. Like
a type of a ketchup.
Well, thanks for sharing that one. We're going to have to do a little footwork and go find a grocery store that carries
yeah,
it.
Yeah. What's that one? World Market.
Yeah.
World Market.
I'm thinking there's a good place to start. That,
I bet it has it. So, again, that's not quite as bizarre, but let's get back into the bizarre. The Victorians. We know about the Victorian days. Those people were a little bizarre. They had a obsession with jelly. They loved to put anything and everything into gelatin molds.
Oh, it's good for you.
Vegetables in the mold. Meats in the mold. Even a whole fish. Imagine that. A whole fish. At fancy dinners, you'd be dazzled by what looked like a shimmering ruby red dessert, only to cut inside and find chicken gizzards staring back at you.
Oh, you know, you know, I prefer mine breaded and crispy.
Yes, I don't want gelatin anywhere near my chicken gizzards. No.
I haven't even gotten past trying to eat sardines.
we'll put gelatin in a mold that looks like a fish, but there ain't no fish in that gelatin, okay? And yet pickled fish, which I have had, is awesome in a pickled gelatin. So who knows?
So does that count for herring too?
Herring is herring? Yes.
Okay. That ain't so bad.
Again, we're all a little bizarre.
Yeah. All right. Once again.
One more. There was a king who once talked about how coffee was cursed by those who were bosses in charge.
I don't see him having a good future.
this guy, he's the king. He cursed coffee in the 1500s. He was an Ottoman Sultan, Murad the Fourth, and he outlawed coffee under penalty of death, convinced it was corrupting society.
Oh, yeah.
Huh, you know, sitting around talking about the king, the Ottoman guy, while they're drinking coffee. Yes. Well, he had a solution. Sneak around Istanbul, which is where this was occurring, in a disguise with a massive sword. Now, that's kind of weird. You're disguised, but you're walking around with this massive sword. And personally dispatch anyone caught sipping a cup. So, yes, he was the coffee police. Oh, my gosh.
Dun, 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 dun. We're going to go to the next segment, Weird People Tales. How about that one? And I'm going to take this first guy. Mark, and thank you very much for giving me Herostratus.
Yeah, you said that well.
Herostratus, the famous arsonist. This guy goes back to 356 before the Common Era, BCE.
BCE.
So this guy burned down the Temple of Artemis. And I'm like, who is Artemis? So I had to look this up. And she's from Greek mythology. The virgin goddess of the hunt, of wild nature, chastity, and the moon.
Huh.
Wow. You know, that's not your everyday patron of the temple.
No.
So there we go. She's also the twin sister of Apollo and the daughter of Zeus.
Oh, Zeus, that's big time trouble.
So what's this guy's motivation, right? Why would he burn down this goddess's temple? Just so he could make a name for himself?
Wow.
I don't think it takes much sense to figure out that the authorities of the time decided not only to dispatch of him. I don't even want to look up how he died, but just by saying his name, you could be arrested.
Sure.
And what they did in olden days, they erased him.
They erased him.
If his name was mentioned anywhere in stone, it was erased. If it was in a tablet, it was erased. If it was in a scroll, the scroll was burned. The guy was basically erased.
Yes.
Well, I guess what? We're still talking about 2,500 years later.
Thousands of years later.
So we're going to give him the prize of being the first guy to go viral doing something dumb.
Yeah, that's so cool. Oh, good job, Herostratus. Excellent. Well, let's see if I can, say top that, but there's some more bizarre.
I think you can top this one.
All right. That's the Pope who performed a corpse trial. And this is about 500 years later after this other dude burned down the temple. This was in 897 BCE. Old Pope Stephen VI. He put his dead predecessor, Pope Formosus, on trial. He dressed the corpse up in papal robes and propped him up on a throne and began to interrogate him. Unsurprisingly, the corpse lost the trial.
Oh, bad joke. Is it because he pled the fifth?
Bad lawyer, pled the fifth. What's up with this guy? You lose. Great.
Okay. Well, you know, that bizarre. Definitely tops. That is bizarre.
That's bizarre. And then we have, that ain't bizarre enough, we got Charles VI, known as the Glass King of France.
The Glass King.
The Glass King. Well, he believed he was made of glass. So, of course, he was the Glass King. He refused to let anybody touch him. He wore reinforced clothing, and he freaked out. If people came near him, well, of course, they were going to break the glass. Imagine him trying to play a medieval game of tag. Instant meltdown by the king. No, oh, absolutely. Touch me.
He'd totally freak out. That is weird.
He got something about a weird nose or no nose, I think.
Oh, you know, this is a guy who I couldn't pronounce his name. It's Tycho Brahe, and he had a prosthetic nose. Mm. Now, this guy is a pretty interesting and famous guy as a astronomer, and he had a lot of findings that were, you know, first person to discover this and that in science and astronomy. But he lost a part of his nose in a duel. You know what they say about poking your nose into somebody else's business.
My nose!
So, you know, the guy obviously was a man of means. He found a way to replace it with a metal prosthetic. Huh. You know, and there are, you know, stories, reports, could have been gold or silver. Ooh, but nice. In private, he sometimes switched his nose every day to an everyday nose, whatever that is, to a copper nose.
So, maybe copper.
so just look at this. You know, he goes to his dresser and he's got three noses in a little, you know, velvet tray.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, we're going to give him the prize for being the guy who had a nose for wardrobe.
Oh my gosh. That's just sick. Insane. Insane. Oh my. Or he could go out with no nose and a big hole between his eyes.
Well, for Bear fans, I think they could listen to this next story.
All right, here we go. Lord Byron's pet bear at a university. Old Lord Byron, when he went to Cambridge, dogs were banned in a student housing. Mm-hmm. So what did he do? He brought a pet bear with him instead. Well, the college officials, when they protested, Byron insisted, there's no rule against bears. I got a feeling there probably is today.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think the man was brilliant. He found the loophole.
Right? He found the loophole.
He absolutely has a good future.
That's totally.
I think there's a lot of other good stories about Lord Byron.
I'll tell you. All right. He's a smart man.
I'm like sitting on the edge of my chair. We still haven't discovered who is the famous president who.
Oh, old Honest Abe the Wrestler. Oh, yes. Before Abraham Lincoln was the president, he was a top tier wrestler. Mm. All right. I mean, he wrestled around 300 matches and he only lost once.
Can you imagine this guy in the UFC? He'd probably be famous, I mean, too. A bit.
And, you know, he was known once he grabbed a heckler in the crowd and he lifted him by the neck.
Whoa.
And tossed him several feet, utilizing those wrestling skills, obviously. And, well, you might say 4 score and 7 throws ago.
Way to go. That's a good one.
Wow.
Okay, Mark. I hear we've got a few more weird food tales.
Yeah, we do. There's a few more bizarre food tales before we get to the conclusion. Yeah,
all right.
Famous conclusion. All right. Well, let's go back to the medieval days.
Oh, my favorite time.
Meat, water. Yep, I said that. Meat, water.
Is that bone broth?
In the Middle Ages, those middle-aged people, them and the Victorians, I don't know, people believed you could drink meat by boiling beef until the water captured the essence. Yes, the essence. Hmm. The beef tea was served to the nobles as a delicacy. Hmm. Basically, the original bouillon cube, just way grosser. Oh, yuck. Now, I have to also make a note. I mentioned the first recipe. It's been said that the very first recipe that was ever created was beer.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be a very old recipe.
I'm sure there was an accidental thing. Somebody threw some thing in a pot and water rained, and they said, smells like it might be good. Let's drink it. Beer. So that's just to cover that. I mean, that's important historical data.
Goes along well with meat water.
Yeah, better than that meat water. But since we're talking about water and product, back to ketchup. Okay, not only can it be made from bananas, but ketchup back in the 1830s, an Ohio physician sold tomato ketchup as a miracle cure. Yep, ketchup as a medicine for indigestion, jaundice, and get ready, diarrhea. Woo. Pharmacists stocked ketchup pills.
Oh.
You might say Heinz was a little late to that party.
Ketchup pills.
Oh, gosh. This is... And one more from me right here. Back in the 1890s, oh, more bananas. The electric bananas. And back to the Victorians. They thought bananas conducted electricity. Well, there you go.
That's a wild story just in of itself.
This is bizarre.
Yes.
Some families rubbed banana peels on their skin.
Oh my.
Hoping it would recharge them just like a Duracell battery. Oh my gosh.
But this history is stranger than fiction. This one taps them all.
I don't know what the audience, what weird stories, bizarre stories you have. Of course, we'd love to hear anything that you have. But Mark, I think you have one sticky wicked kind of bizarre story that you can tell us.
Oh, gee whiz. Yeah, there's a story, and it's called The Great Molasses Flood. It happened in Boston around the turn of the century, I think, somewhere around the 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
1919, to be exact.
Mm.
Now, Boston had a massive storage tank that contained tons, like 12,000 tons of molasses. And it broke open, resulting in a wave that was estimated to be 25 feet high of sticky syrup molasses running through the streets. And, you know, I know that all sounds really funny, but actually there were 21 casualties.
That's
all. People lost their lives.
Oh, my God.
No disrespect, but boy, I mean, I hope they weren't caught trying to drink all that molasses.
Oh man!
So you know,
and guess smell how of
fast
molasses?
Guess how fast molasses can run through the street. They estimate it ran through the street at 35 miles an hour. So it's absolutely swept you off your feet.
Yeah,
you couldn't run away. So it became legendary, of course.
Wow.
And locals would share that later on for years during hot summer days.
Yeah.
You could still smell the scent of molasses in the air.
Oh, I imagine. Yes.
Again, is history ever stranger than fiction?
Oh, gee, that is.
So I want to hear this next one that you're going to share with us about World War II.
One final one before the conclusion. We've talked about ketchup and we've talked about bananas a lot. How could we leave out the carrot?
Yeah.
The poor, innocent carrot. But it's bizarre. The carrot propaganda in World War II. Yep. The British government spread propaganda that Allied troops had superhuman night vision from eating carrots.
Dun, 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 dun.
Comes Bugs Bunny again.
Yep.
In reality, though, they were hiding the use of radar. The carrot craze got so big, people started putting carrots in everything, even pudding.
Oh, my goodness.
I wonder about if they put it in Jell-O.
It's going way too far.
I don't know.
But I compliment you on the fact that not only is history stranger than fiction, but we also started with bunnies and we're ending it with carrots.
We're ending with carrots. There you go.
High five.
Brilliant. Well, here we are once again. The conclusion to Bizarre Tales. Bizarre Tales are, of course, events that are entertaining to hear and read about. They can be told by the actual person who experiences that tale. Many times, they are part of history and told by others. I believe they contain facts. I really do. They can also be told to make a point. Make a point, you say? Yes. For example, it is said George Washington never actually cut down the cherry tree. It is also said he was a person who believed strongly in honesty. Well, that tale helps to support that image. There you go. I take it as a fact. How about one more bizarre tale? This is, could be considered the most bizarre, at least of modern times. In 2015, there was a YouTuber, and he decided to make a chicken sandwich from scratch. Now, I mean really from scratch. He grew the wheat. He evaporated ocean water for salt. What? And he made the bread from the wheat that he grew. And of course, well, he had to raise the chicken. Oh my goodness. It took him 6 months and $1,500. In the end, get this. He said the sandwich was, quote, not bad. Sometimes a sandwich is just a sandwich. There no matter go. How epic or bizarre the journey.
Gotcha. Thanks for joining us on Sudsec Conversations, where curiosity croaks louder. We hope today's episode sparked a smile, stirred thought, or simply gave you something unexpected to remember. If you enjoyed this eclectic episode, share it with a friend who loves a good mental detour. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss a sunset with us. Want more? Hop over to bullfrogentertainment.com for show notes, links, and a few surprises. Whether you're a longtime listener or just tuning in, we're so glad you're here. Until next time, keep your curiosity croaking and your heart wide open.
Good day.
Good day.